You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built. Greg, the schedule maker probably has the most difficult job in the National Hockey League right now, as another three games, well, four if you include the Detroit-Anaheim game, although they already rescheduled that for Sunday. The NHL right now is hell-bent on not playing games after April 30th in the regular season. Do you think that actually happens?
Yeah, I do. I think they're hell-bent to do it because they don't want the season to be extended deeper into the summer than it already is. They don't want that because they want some semblance of a normal off-season, and they don't want that because, let's face it, there's a new television deal here in the U.S., and there's a schedule of playoff series and games and a finite end to the postseason and a beginning of the draft and the free agent signing period. And they don't want to throw all of that into chaos in the first year of a TV deal. So I think they're sticking to what is the predetermined end of the regular season. And they're going to try to just jam in these games as best as possible.
Yeah, you want to round those games in there, but you know, you wonder if there's a fair, like, the debate as far as, you know, teams that are getting shut down and teams that continue to play. Like, obviously, fans here in Edmonton are frustrated with some of the players they're missing and some they've missed, but other teams have been shut down. So, do you see, is there kind of like a guideline, I guess, the NHL is using about when to shut a team down and when to just roll it through?
That's a great question, and we don't know the answer. I mean, we've talked to Bill Daly about that in the past, and there isn't a number. There isn't like a threshold. There's like, okay, now it's nine guys, and then we have to shut the team down. I think it's done by a case-by-case basis. I wouldn't be surprised if in some cases it's based on the significance of the players that are missing from the lineup. But we don't have – it's not in black and white as far as when they decide to shut these games down. I do think that – you know, when you have two teams that are impacted that are going to play in a game, it certainly does increase the likelihood that game is going to be postponed. And then obviously with the situation in Canada and the fans and the capacity restrictions based on province, I mean, that's become the overriding factor in a lot of these postponements. And we already saw something that I think we're going to see a lot more of, which is if these teams have the opportunity to flip-flop games for ones later in the season, you know, play on the road now and then play home games later, like we saw with the Maple Leafs and the Islanders doing their little flip-flop this week. I think we're going to see a lot more of that if possible.
Greg Wyshynski joins us from ESPN. Greg, here we are, and it's January 6th, and outside of, like, Ovechkin, McDavid, and Draisaitl, is there anyone you see who could make a case for the Hart?
Well, it's funny you should ask that, because our next award watch comes up tomorrow on ESPN. The way we do it is we poll a selection of Professional Hockey Writers Association voters anonymously to kind of get a sense of where the wind is blowing. And I will tell you that the majority of the support, the vast majority of the support, has gone to Alex Ovechkin and to Connor McDavid. And I think in McDavid's case, you could obviously say that, you know, depending on who ends up having the stronger season statistically, it could be either him or Leon Draisaitl in that spot. I don't think that they're going to both end up as finalists. When Draisaitl won, McDavid wasn't a finalist. When McDavid won, Draisaitl wasn't a finalist. But only just an appetite to have two guys in the same team be in the top three amongst the voters. Right now it's McDavid. Right now it's Ovechkin. And the other guys that are kind of interesting on the periphery, one is Victor Hedman. Now, the Tampa Bay Lightning, I think as we move forward, are going to be a team that sees the wealth spread a little bit more, Braden Point being healthy, Kucherov coming back tonight. But if you talk around to people around that team, they'll tell you that Victor Hedman has really been the steadying presence this year for the Lightning, even more so than Andrei Vasilevsky's been. It's been Hedman that's really kind of navigated them through some choppy waters. So I think he's a possibility. I think amongst the dark horses, you have Nazem Kadri and Nico Rantanen of the Colorado Avalanche, Igor Shesterkin of the Rangers, who obviously has been a driving force for them. And then you have players like Jonathan Huberdeau of the Panthers and Johnny Gaudreau of the Flames. And you don't sleep on Austin Matthews with 20 goals in 29 games as being maybe someone who can creep up into that conversation as the season goes on. But right now it's the Ovechkin-McDavid debate for the Hart.
How dark of a horse is Cale Makar and what he's done from the blue line?
For MVP? Pretty much a dark horse there. I will tell you, I found an amazing stat from the betting markets for Makar and his Norris Trophy candidacy. He's the betting favorite right now at plus 250, but this is the stat that's crazy. 53.6% of the tickets at MGM that have been purchased for the Norris Trophy winner have Cale Makar's name on it. That is an enormous amount percentage of tickets. I think there's a sense of it being kind of his coronation year. You know, he was second behind Fox last year, obviously has put up amazing numbers and has the highlight of the season amongst defensemen to provide even more wind in his sails. But it's a crowded group for the Norris. I don't think he's running away with the thing. I mean, I think Hedman's going to be in the conversation. And the one guy that I'm really watching is Aaron Ekblad, who also has that never has won the Norris Trophy thing going for him, has never been nominated for the Norris Trophy, for that matter. He kind of reminds me of what we used to look at with Mark Giordano before he won the Norris, where Giordano would have really good seasons undermined by injuries. Like, Ekblad was on his way last year, man. Like, he was having a terrific season before the injury. So I think if he can stay healthy this year, it's going to be interesting to see where he places and where he is in the conversation. Doesn't have the buzz that Makar has, but may end up having the better balance between offensive and defensive numbers than Makar does.
Yeah, you know, it's good to have a race there. You know, Victor Hedman's a point-a-game player. Adam Fox, who just won, it's just over. Makar's at 28 points in 25 games. Now, you know, he's played fewer games because Colorado's only played 29 games, and he missed four of them. But the other one that's always interesting, because it's a great debate, it seems, every year on who wins the Vezina or not. But do you think Vasilevsky, you know, Jack Campbell in Toronto, though? Like, Jack Campbell's hovering around a 940 save percentage right now. Like, he's got to be right up there.
You'd think that. Now, the problem with the Vezina, as you know, is that these incredibly smart, qualified, analytically driven sports writers that we have in the Professional Hockey Writers Association have to take a backseat to the general managers who just vote for the guy with the most wins. This is the problem with the Vezina. Give us this award, too. We'll make it logical. We'll make it smart. We'll take it over. We'll do the thing. Because otherwise, you're wondering to yourself who's going to be the favorite. And you're right. Like, Jack Campbell should be in the conversation. Does he have enough respect amongst the GMs to potentially win the Vezina? Who knows? Shishkin, obviously, I think, is probably your clubhouse leader for that award just based on how he's played for the Rangers. And he's got a statistic case both in traditional stats and analytics. But then you get to guys like Tristan Jarry, who I think has had a really, really good season. You know who's had a heck of a season on a bounce-back year? Jonathan Quick, believe it or not, who I think we've all forgotten about from his elite days from the past decade. He's been good. UC Soros, I think, has that thing where he's not only playing really well for the Predators, but might end up being their MVP in what's been a surprising season for them, too. So there is a lot of names in contention, but I think Shishkin probably has that spot as being the favorite to win the award based on how the Rangers have played and how he's played in back of them.
Yeah, another guy who might be an outside candidate if their team's turnaround continues is Thatcher Demko. He's been unreal for the last month for Vancouver, and if they make the Cinderella turnaround and get in, then he would get some votes too.
Right, but I mean, the big thing with that, obviously, is like he's coached less than 10 games, but I mean, how many times have we seen somebody come in mid-season and then start rocking and rolling and all of a sudden end up as a Jack Adams winner or at the very least a Jack Adams finalist? And I mean, the Jack Adams, you know, voted on by the broadcasters is always an award where they like to look at it and point at something and say, this man made a difference. And Bruce Boudreau coming in and turning the Vancouver Canucks into a sudden Pacific Division juggernaut, I think definitely fits that description.
Joined by Greg Wasinski, taking a look around the world NHL. You can check him out at ESPN. He's their NHL reporter. Greg, when you look at the Rookie of the Year, you know, obviously I think the sexy one, the guys throwing pucks around from the front of the net to the back of the net to the back of the net to the front, Trevor Zegras is right up there. But is there anyone else that you know, I guess for the Rookie of the Year, but just a guy that you've really been impressed with as a rookie so far this season in the NHL?
Well, I think it's a race. I mean, I think, like you said, Zegras definitely has the buzz right now, and in our ranking tomorrow does have the majority of the votes from the voters that we've surveyed. So I think you can say he's the leader for the Calder right now. But I mean, don't sleep on Lucas Raymond. The thing about Raymond that I find really interesting is the Calder is an award that sometimes will revert back to whoever is leading the statistic categories if they're a forward at the end of the season. So as much as Zegras might have the buzz, it's Raymond that leads in goals. It's Raymond that, or he's tied for the lead in goals. It's Raymond that leads in points per game. He's a little bit younger than Zegras. He did not play last season like Zegras did, which may or may not factor into people's voting. So I think Raymond is really right there with him as far as being a candidate for Rookie of the Year. And then the other one is also from the Red Wings. Actually, that I find interesting. Moritz Seider, who I think is by far the best defensive rookie of the year. The only guy that's even close to him in the conversation is Jamie Drysdale from the Ducks. But Cedar's been awesome, and he's playing in every situation. Doesn't have the flash that maybe like we saw from Makar and Quinn Hughes in their rookie season, but he's been incredible. And the other guy is Nedeljkovic. Don't forget, man. Like, he was a finalist for Rookie of the Year last year. Still eligible for Rookie of the Year this year, and has been ridiculous. Putting up good numbers for the Red Wings.
Well, thanks for giving the D-man some love. Like, the D-man needs some love. They got to be talked about here with Wyshynski.
Oh, for sure, and but the problem with this award is that it always has to, you know, if a defenseman is like leading the league in points for rookies, like obviously he's going to win, like, you know, Makar and Quinn Hughes were, but it usually takes a little bit of flash and dash to get people's attention. It's not the people that are just like all around solid like Seider is, and I think the other problem with him is that he's got a guy on his team and Raymond that's going to like really kind of suck the air out of the room as far as a Calder candidacy. But yeah, you always got to give love to the D-man. You always have to give love to the goalies. It's not always just the forwards that lead the league in rookie scoring that should be up to the Calder.
Quickly, the New York Rangers, the Washington Capitals, the Carolina Panthers, and the surging winners of 9 in a row, Pittsburgh Penguins, are running away with the Metro Division. Like, it's a huge gap between fourth and fifth, the biggest gap of any division by a long shot. So those four teams seem to be locks, Greg. Who is the best of those four?
The Capitals are real good, man. Like, they're I've seen them a bunch this year, and I've been really impressed with them. I think they've played extraordinarily well defensively. There obviously is a pretty big gap in scoring between what Ovechkin has done and what the other players on the team has done. But they're a sneakily good team and a sneakily deep team. But of those three, I still think the Carolina Hurricanes, when they're at full strength, is probably the best of that group. I just love the way they play. You know, they have the ability to grind you down offensively with the talents they have up front. And we've seen these Rod Brind'Amour teams do that thing where, you know, you're watching a game and then you look up and it's been 12 minutes and your team doesn't have a shot against those guys. Like, they're just a really good, strong, balanced team. And you know, the Freddie Anderson renaissance where he goes from the biggest pressure cooker in the league to Raleigh and kind of reclaims his game, I think has been maybe one of the more underreported stories of the year so far. He's been great. He should probably be in the Vezina conversation. But you know, Carolina's been kind of bubbling under the surface as a real cup contender. And every time I see him, I come away impressed.
Greg, always good to catch up with you, man. Enjoy the hockey talk, and we'll look forward to seeing all the awards at the midway. Well, it's not technically the midway point, but kind of the midway point of the season tomorrow.
Anytime, boys. Thanks for having me.